All right, so as you know, I've been talking about for the last couple weeks how I was watching Fox News and I saw this ad for Minority Leader McCarthy
Naturally.
About how I need to text Fire Pelosi to like this number to, you know, Fire Pelosi to put my thoughts in. So I did.
I would do it.
And little did I know, it just signed me up to get text upon text upon text upon text from the GOP. And some of these are just absolutely unhinged. Like, I got this one the other day, and it was a picture. It said, "Top secret, urgent message from GOP leadership." And then, like, the text after the picture said, "Delete after reading. Attached is the memo I sent to my team. And as a top patriot, I need to loop you in as well. You have 10 minutes to read and delete." And then it sends you to a link. And then you click on the link, and it's just fundraising. But the fundraising is like, the minimum number is $25,
Oh
right?
my God.
And then they're always like flashing letters. And I also noticed it automatically signs you up for monthly billing. So that's fun. Like, it's just clicked, just off rips, you know? So that's fun. I got another one that's this just crazy flashing red and white GIF that says "Emergency matching activated. This is not a drill. Pelosi's campaign arm cronies just enlisted 12 new candidates into their red to blue program, their dark money plot to expand Pelosi's grip on Congress. On top of that, they just broke another fundraising record." He says this like every text, and I'm pretty sure it's just a complete fucking lie. "This is a major setback. Sustaining operations against Pelosi's 12 new puppets will require additional funding. We will need to increase all monthly goals by approximately 30%. They just make up an issue and say, "We need more money to solve this."
I like how they think Nancy Pelosi is able to strategize.
Oh my God,
just
I
in
know.
General,
Oh
you
my
know?
God,
Like,
I
she
know.
doesn't strategize.
And then they're like, "We're going to do a 6-time match." And then they obviously up how much money you have to give too. But every single one of these is asking for money. And they're always calling me a top patriot. I got one that said I was a top 2% patriot in my area. And
Ooh.
it's thanks to people like me that we can keep Trump's America First agenda alive. And I wish it was up to people like
It's
me.
literally up to you to keep Trump's
That'd be
America alive.
fantastic. But sadly, they stopped sending me texts because I think I would answer the polls. Of course, I have to. And they sent
That's your
me,
duty as a
it was
patriot.
my duty, yeah. And they sent me one that said, "Do you support the Electoral College? Pelosi's trying to destroy it." And I obviously said no, because I'm not going to lie and I want to fuck up the data. And then they stopped sending me texts.
Dang.
I think they sent me like two more after that to buy Jim Jordan's new book. But I didn't
You
know.
Bought it, right?
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah,
it's on the
of
way.
course. They told me it would be a signed copy, and it was reserved for me. It was reserved for the top 100 patriots, and I was one of them.
I bet it wasn't a signed copy, and it's just a scam.
Oh, yeah,
It's
I
almost
bet.
Like the entire Republican Party is just a giant racket.
It's almost like every single one of these texts is a fucking lie. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Except for this one that I really wanted to highlight today. And this one says, "Hi, my name is John James, a favorite here on the show. I'm an Army veteran and Apache helicopter pilot who served during Operation Iraqi Freedom. I'm a job creator. I'm a husband. I'm a father. And now I'm a concerned American ready to serve my country yet again, this time to restore sanity in Washington and security and prosperity at home."
What you mean yet again?
Literally.
What you haven't done it at
Literally.
all.
"Faith, family, service, and the American dream are what made us that shining city upon a hill, the
Oh boy.
inspiration and envy of the world. But we are rapidly approaching a dystopian America that is completely unrecognizable. I know where I stand.
True.
I refuse to let liberal elites trample our freedoms. I refuse to give in to the failed socialist policies of regimes past. I refuse to let the American dream die with our generation. If you're with me, I need you to support me and my co-pilots
So corny.
in our fight for freedom. Please rush $10 or anything you can in the next 1 hour to send my fellow freedom fighters and I to Washington." And it sends you to a link to his campaign announcement. So if you don't know, John James is this black conservative who's really been trying to just get his way into the national like lens when it comes to the Conservative Party, get into the Senate. And he's been trying so hard. In fact, in 2018, he tried and failed to beat Debbie Stabenow.
By like 7 points, he lost.
Oh, yeah.
He got
Debbie
crushed.
Stabenow is literally a fucking dinosaur.
Oh,
She's a
yeah.
71-year-old woman who needs to go spend time with her grandkids. You know what
No,
I mean?
She needs to get out.
I'm
I don't
pretty
know how she
sure
made it
her
so long.
signature legislative achievement is like making sure that you can't file bankruptcy on student loans.
Yes.
So
she was so proud to
she
vote for
fucking
that.
sucks. And he lost to her, right, in 2018. In 2020, he lost to Gary Peters, although it was kind of close, but
One,
still.
Like 1%, yeah.
But still, both of these losses are amazing considering that Michigan was red. Like, Michigan went red in 2016. He should have easily beat Debbie Stabenow.
Can't, though.
Absolutely not. And I just think, that there's, like, one of two reasons why this dude is trying again for the third time.
Okay.
Keep in mind, he raised over $50 million for each of those failed campaigns. Dude burned over $100 million.
Yeah.
At this point, I think it's either the GOP is racist, which, like, yeah, and they really just are desperate for another token in the Senate or in Congress in general.
Oh, they need it, yeah.
Or the GOP is so racist that they just think it's funny that he loses. You know what I mean?
That's quite the theory.
I know, dude. I'm out here just speculating. You know what I mean? And it's also funny because I watched his, like, a campaign announcement ad, and it's the corny regular shit. It's not as corny as his ads back in 2020, mm-hmm. where he was going through, like, an army obstacle course and fatigues and shit.
Yeah.
It's like, shut the fuck up, dog. Like, come on. This is the worst.
This time around, he might actually have a pretty good chance of winning.
He's running for House.
Not as difficult.
In the 10th district against some nobody.
The 10th district is, well, all the lines got redrawn because of redistricting, but it could be easier for him. I think 10th district right now is usually, like, Republican held anyway.
Yeah.
It's like uncontested Republican. Can help,
of course.
So if he wins the primary, that's easy peasy.
Exactly, he just gets in there right quick. But I want to draw attention to this one line that he said in his campaign line. He said, "I'm not a career politician. My brother in Christ, you've been trying to be a career politician for the last 4 years."
He said, "I'm not a career politician. I know." I made sure of that.
I'm well aware you're not a career politician.
Because we didn't want you to be.
Everyone's laughing at you for not being a career politician and trying this hard.
Bro wants to be in Congress so bad.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Maybe he'll get
like,
it.
He's like a golden boy within the GOP, too. It's crazy. They want him so bad to be in there.
I know.
So they can say, look, we're not racist.
Yeah. And he keeps losing. Damn it.
Back to the show, everybody.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you're ready for an absolutely packed episode. We've got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, yes, we do.
Just a quick rundown of what we got on the agenda today. We got to talk about Biden's new plan.
That's coming up.
We got to talk about how the free market doesn't exist, some propaganda within the free market.
Okay.
Some stuff that Congress may actually accomplish.
Pretty exciting.
We got to check in on our favorite Republicans. Absolutely favorite Republicans. And then we'll end on some actual good
spicy
news.
Spicy quotes right there.
Oh, yeah. Some spicy quotes. And then we'll end on some good news for once.
Yeah.
Evil might have lost just this one time.
Let's go, guys.
But before we get into the episode, I got to ask you all. I got to demand.
I'm once again asking you.
I got to demand that you all go check out the Patreon, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all the social medias. I noticed, since we said it was obligatory last time around, you did leave some comments on the YouTube. I appreciate that.
Exactly.
I appreciate that. It's required of you.
Mandatory comments. Right, yeah, that's right.
This is the big government forcing you to do our will, our bidding.
Oh, yeah.
You have to do it.
Reaching so hard right now.
Also, if you want to support the show, we say it every week. Leave a review on Apple.
5 stars.
And we'll read it on the show, which we're going to do right now. We just one today.
Singular.
Subject line is the 100 emoji.
Ooh.
By Morgan Age or Morgan a G? I don't know. Something like that. Anyway, they say, "I'm so glad y'all came up on my For You page because I'm obsessed. Don't know how you managed to keep me laughing on issues that usually make me cry / beat my head against a wall. But keep up the good work." That's how I feel.
Sometimes these things are just so, not even sometimes, most of the time, these things are just so absurd that you just can't help but laugh.
Yeah, you know, that is our goal. That's the niche we're trying to fill. You know what I'm saying? Make people laugh and not bang your head against the wall.
Facts.
Anyway, I think it's time to dive into the news coverage.
Time to dive into this Biden budget speed
run. Check out Biden.
Any percent?
Exactly. Let's do it.
Let's get into it. So as you all know, Biden just dropped the, 2023 fiscal year budget, his plan for the budget, yet to be approved by Congress, which is going to be very important
Naturally. Once
you hear all this. But anyway.
Especially in the context of Build Back Better completely stalling out.
Oh, yeah. All the good things that he tried to do didn't pass.
Right.
So that's crazy. The only thing they did last year, infrastructure bill.
Yeah.
Crazy. So let's look ahead.
American Rescue Plan.
Oh,
true. The Biden stimmies.
True.
Only the $1,400 and not the additional $600.
Yeah, unemployment ending. That's not a very good look. The eviction moratorium ending.
Them only extending the hold on loan repayments because they were literally forced to.
I was going to say, don't you still have to pay your student loans now?
Didn't you don't have to. It's still paused, continued to extend, but they're still piling up. You know what I mean?
But they really want to end it because they've wanted to at like every turn. Yes. Okay, but anyway, let's look ahead at 2023.
Okay, okay.
So basically included is a 1.5% real increase to the military budget. So now the military budget is going to be $813 billion.
Oh, great.
So I love that. And I thought a really note, this is all from a political article, by the way. A really funny note is among the increase, $1.8 billion is dedicated to expanding our military presence in the Indo-Pacific region. They're just marking money out there for imperialism, just fresh right out in the open. Just $1.8 billion for more military bases in like Indonesia, the regions around India, just to posture in the South China Sea.
That line item better just say imperialism.
I hope. Like, what else do you call it? Neocolonialism.
Yeah, you know that'll pass. Absolutely. Oh, there's no chance that doesn't pass.
No, actually, it might not pass. I was also reading that there's a lot of people in the Senate that wanted a 5 to 7% increase in the military budget rather than a 1.5% increase.
Oh my god.
So there's a lot of people that are actually unhappy and don't think that it's enough.
We're about to spend $1 trillion on the military.
I wouldn't be surprised within the next 5 to 10 years if that number is $1 trillion.
Funny how all the people that complain about the national debt don't give a shit about the military budget at all.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about that later. We will talk about that later. All right. Anyway, there's a renewed focus on trust busting, which I thought that was pretty cool. Biden is proposing a 49% increase to the DOJ's antitrust department and a 30% increase to the FTC's budget.
30% increase from what, though? Because if it's already too low.
It was like dog shit before. The FTC's been gutted. They have no money. Yeah, the DOJ's antitrust department also has barely any money, but I think it's going to be $250 million. Is going to be their new budget after this?
See, I mean, that's a lot of money, but that feels like not a lot for a government agency.
Yeah, for a government agency. And especially when you consider what both of those institutions are taking on this year. So basically, the DOJ is expected to sue Apple later this year, and the FTC already filed a lawsuit against Meta and is pursuing investigations against Amazon. Specifically, the Meta lawsuit is currently in the discovery phase, and the FTC has brought allegations of illegal monopoly, barriers to market entry, and anti-competitive conduct, which
is against Meta.
Yeah, naturally. And I wanted to take a side note while we're talking about this to just talk about how anti-competitive conduct is literally illegal under a neoliberal establishment, yet that is just a blatant contradiction to everything that capitalists stand for. I don't understand how, like, you can call yourself a capitalist and say, yeah, but you can't act in anti-competitive ways.
Right.
The goal of capitalism tends toward monopoly. No matter what, you always want to acquire your competition, you always want to snuff out your competition, and you always want to make the most money while paying your workers the littlest money. It's so funny how we still lie to ourselves and hold the country hostage by saying that capitalism is just this great fucking thing, yet we recognize it codified within the law that these things are bad.
And a lot of right wingers, at least rhetorically, recognize that monopolies are pretty pervasive, at least in America, but definitely even throughout the world. And it's really funny because it's like, I feel like somebody maybe like 200 years ago or something talked about the consolidation of wealth under capitalism, talked about capitalism tendency to drop wages and drop profit. I think somebody
talked about the central contradictions within capitalism.
Yeah, somebody, a German guy,
possibly Karl Marx.
Yeah, something like that.
Calvin Marx, some
philosopher. Exactly. Some indie guy. You know?
Yeah, not the father of modern sociology or anything.
Nobody important.
But this probably isn't going to pass because both Democrats and Republicans have signaled that they don't fuck with either of these things because of the Silicon Valley Dems.
Yeah, naturally.
They don't want to do anything about it. So that's a good time. Moving on, there's some climate provisions.
Biden's favorite quote. Capitalism without competition is not capitalism, it's exploitation.
That's right.
It's not always exploitation.
I love it when they just don't know what they're talking about.
Right, because capitalism with competition can exist, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. God damn it.
Even if you don't fund the FTC. Fucking whatever, bro.
Moving on. There's some climate provisions. $17 billion is dedicated to climate research, with $9 billion of that going to like R&D for renewable energy And another $11 billion on top of that is dedicated to help other nations transition to cleaner energy, which I wanted to talk about because I feel like that's kind of fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to assume that they're talking about developing countries.
Right, right.
But why not focus that money here on actually developing the better technology so it can come to market in mass, be cheaper, instead of focusing on making some poor farmer in South Africa not use a gas-powered tractor?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing is that a lot of developing countries do struggle to meet renewable energy standards.
Yeah.
Because as countries begin to develop, their energy consumption skyrockets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what happened in the United States during the Industrial Revolution. Our energy consumption skyrocketed and so did our pollution. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens in other developing nations as well. The problem, though, is that any international infrastructure that we have set up to try to combat this problem,
yeah.
Like there's been tons of different renewable energy funds that have been set up mm-hmm. to be like international funds that we put money into, they never get money.
Oh, yeah.
We never put money into those things. And quite frankly, $11 billion is nothing.
Oh,
it's absolutely nothing.
Literally for every other country?
Like for all of the developing countries on the earth that are struggling to meet these renewable energy standards, like that, it doesn't do anything.
And it also just ignores the fact that it's like, you know, factories in these industrialized nations or the factories in these developing nations that are the ones doing most of the emissions. It's factories
in
China.
And the military that we keep
Exactly. Like it's a much bigger issue than just, I think we should give these farmers solar panels.
What is the, what's the statistic that's like if the poorest 3 billion people on the earth just disappeared, nothing would happen to our carbon emissions? They would stay the same.
Yeah.
Like it's not poor people in developing countries that are causing the problem. It's massive corporations and big countries with giant militaries.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
And you know this isn't going to be used to like make factories, you know, push to solar panels, use a wind farm or something. It's just going to, again, make farmers do dumb shit.
Right. It's just going to, you know, it's just going to fuck over poor farmers in like India.
Yeah.
And then massive corporations are just going to come in and take over because they can claim to be, you know, better with renewable energy because they just have more money to do it.
No, literally. Exactly. It's going to be another, they're going to have to take IMF loans in order to do the fuck, in order to upgrade their farms. And then they're going to have to hire an American contractor to come and do the upgrading. And they're just going to get bought out.
It's just, and that's just all presupposing that this passes at all, which it probably won't.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Half of this country believes that climate change just doesn't exist. So.
Fucking insane, right? There's also, they're going to increase the EPA funding by about 25%, but that's literally nothing considering that Trump absolutely gutted the institution.
Yeah,
so.
He really did.
Whatever. Again, kind of just
I mean, the EPA's been gutted over time anyway. Like, they can't really do anything at this point.
No, they have basically no power.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's scared of them anymore. Uh-huh. Nobody's scared of you anymore.
Exactly.
Okay, and then again, Biden's proposing a decrease of $15 million to the Federal Supplemental Educational Opportunity Grant Program.
Wait, didn't we just wasn't he just touting, like, you get $400 extra in Pell Grants now?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Wait, why? What's the point?
I don't know. I literally don't know. I just know that it's going from it's going from $895 million to $880 million.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, bro. If budget cuts need to happen somewhere, and it's got to come out of the pockets of kids trying to afford school.
Yeah, bro. Bro got a significant chunk of his base from like talking about, oh, I'm gonna wipe student debt, and then he goes and he says, maybe I should make more of that debt to wipe. Huh?
Oh, true.
But I'm not going to wipe it.
Cause the problem and then say you might solve the problem.
That's right.
And then don't say I'll solve it only if you reelect me.
That's the Trump strategy right
exactly.
there.
Exactly. You need something to run on.
I got a healthcare plan, but I won't tell you until you reelect me.
It's a secret.
I may be getting rid of protections for pre-existing conditions, but I've got something better.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just far down the barrel. And then the most interesting thing, obviously, to come out of the budget plan
is
the new rich people tax. There's a new tax that's going to require anyone who's worth over $100 million to pay a 20% tax on both their income and unrealized gains.
Oh my God. So Joe Biden taxing middle-class Americans.
Dude, it's fucking ridiculous. I literally saw an op-ed this week talking about how you may think that this is a good idea, you may think that this isn't going to touch you, but historically, taxes on rich people often end up getting expanded to be taxes on the middle class and upper middle class too. By design, this is not going to ever be able to reach the upper middle class. Actually, the upper middle class, yes, maybe. But the middle class and poor people, it will never be able to reach. The richest 10% of households own, 90% of the stock market?
Something like that, yeah.
This is all about unrealized gains. Uh-huh. Nobody is liquid over $100 million. It's all assets.
And the only way that, well, two things. First of all, the only way that this can actually be enforced is if the IRS gets enough money to do it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, yeah, the tax burden will fall on middle class people because they can only go after middle class people and poor people. And then second, with the unrealized gains portion, a lot of people have been saying, like, well, how are you going to tax unrealized gains? That's been the argument for, like, so long.
We already do.
Property taxes, big dog.
Come on.
We literally already tax things that have unrealized gains. It's not that difficult.
And I see another talking point about how, okay, well, are you going to give them tax credits for unrealized losses that they incur in the next few fiscal years? No, that'd be fire. But unreal losses are already accounted into your gains for the next year. That's just how the fucking stock market works. You get to carry over losses from one fiscal year into gains in another.
Yeah.
That's just how things work in this country. Like, tell me you're just trying to use these to manipulate poor people into just giving you more money.
No, it's literally just like infinite money glitch. Like, that's all it is. Uh-huh. It's just, and unless if you're a middle class person and you're worried this is going to affect you, unless you plan to make $100 million sometime soon, you're going to be fine.
Oh, yeah, literally. Like, unless you plan on being worth $100 million within your lifetime, you're chilling. You do not have to worry about this.
By the way, taxes are in brackets. So it's not like all of your money is getting taxed that high. Like, it doesn't matter.
Even if you were going to be worth $10 million, most of us don't give a fuck. Yeah. Most of us will never be worth $10 million. Fire. Go ahead and do it.
I mean, you've won at that point.
Exactly. Like, you've
won life. What do you need?
You know? Just year over year, you are worth $10 million. You're chilling.
You have more than you can spend.
Exactly. What are you going to buy? A fucking mega yacht?
Yeah, probably.
Are you going to be like one of those people that are so rich that you have a yacht and then like a separate yacht that follows that yacht where your fucking service crew works on so they don't have to sleep on your yacht? You know, that's a real thing.
Facts, because you don't want the stinky, terrible, stupid workers on your yacht.
You don't want to smell poor. On your yacht. God, you just want them to cook and clean for you.
Yeah, you don't want the plebs, the peasants, the serfs. You don't want them on your yacht. No, you want exactly. them behind you on a different ship that will probably sink.
And then another article that I read this week talking about this was talking about how, guys, this is just going to absolutely ramp up inflation. Biden is just being an absolute deficit hawk, continuing the Democrats' agenda radical spending and increasing the deficit with this crazy budget. Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to point out the history over the last 20 or so years with the federal budget deficit.
Okay.
We're going to put up a picture right here if you're watching on YouTube or if we clip this for TikTok. I've got it pulled up. Our last budget surplus was in 2001 with, fucking Clinton's last...
Right after Bill Clinton. Yeah,
right after Bill Clinton. Because if you didn't know how the budgets work, basically you submit your budget in February. And then it gets approved by Congress in October for the next year. So a president's first year in office...
But they can push it back to December and nothing bad would happen.
Yeah, exactly. They can kind of just make up the fucking rules because they're made up anyway. But basically, for a president's first year, they're enacting the previous president's fiscal, final fiscal year budget. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So Bush's first year, he was doing Clinton's budget. That was our last surplus, right? Under Bush, the deficit fucking went up until 2004, then started to go down a little bit again until it skyrocketed with the Great Recession.
Naturally.
Every single year under Obama, except for 2016 and 2017, we saw the deficit increase. Mm-hmm. Trump increased the deficit by fucking crazy amounts even before COVID. One year it was $3 trillion.
Oh my God.
But Democrats are the deficit hawks.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Democrats are the ones that are always going to raise the deficit. Also, with that inflation piece, I'm not an economist.
Yeah.
I'm just speculating, working through the logic in my mind here. If taxes are raised, that means there's less money for people to be spending. Would that not decrease inflation? Or, okay, what does the Federal Reserve do when it's fucking with its, mechanisms and making it so people are spending less money by raising interest rates? I feel like they just are saying literally whatever they want to protect rich people.
I think it just has to do with the idea of the national debt. I think it just has to do with the idea of more money being in supply, more money being spent, and that devalues the current money because it's all fucking fake and people are dumb.
But raising taxes would decrease the debt if we used it right. So I think people are just making shit up.
Yeah,
none of it's real anyway.
Raising taxes traditionally decreases the deficit. I'm pretty sure government spending also decreases the deficit. I'm pretty sure that's the two big ways to curb inflation is to increase government spending and increase taxation.
Right.
Which is like things that we're trying to do at every single turn, but it's not working.
Right. And tax cuts counts as an expenditure because you're losing money that you could spend overall. Mm-hmm. So tax cuts would count as raising the deficit because you still got to pay for things like, you know, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera.
Which, you know, Republicans love cutting taxes for billionaires, which they did, I'm pretty sure, like 2 years ago. They cut some crazy billionaires' tax. But, you know, your taxes went up.
They love cutting taxes and then complaining that the government spends too much money.
Uh-huh.
Gotta love them. Gotta love those people.
I love creating problems.
Yeah.
Instigators, professionally. You know what I mean?
So we've got a brief news story about how the free market functions.
Oh.
And I just want to preface this real quick. This is a story about a corporation taking a major L, which is kind of, it kind of rhymes with how we're going to end the show out, with another corporation taking a major L.
Which I fuck with.
Exactly. Yeah. We fuck with it. But we all know TikTok, right? Everyone loves it. TikTok.
I'm pretty sure you all came here because of TikTok.
Right. A lot of our listener base is from TikTok. Love it or hate it, it's a popular app. Exactly. Destroying our mental health, of course.
1,000%.
Just like all other social media. But we all know it. We all love it. Turns out Meta has acknowledged. They see Facebook, obviously, what used to be Facebook. Mm-hmm. Meta sees that TikTok's becoming popular with the kids.
Oh, no.
TikTok gets like 2 to 3 times more engagement than Instagram gets. They're getting jealous.
I was going to say.
And you know what corporations do when the free market is no longer functioning in their favor?
They lie.
They completely lie and undermine the system.
Steal. Oh my God, I love it.
So, you know, using the massive amount of wealth that Facebook or Meta has, they began doing a targeted media campaign where they're spreading misinformation about TikTok.
Classic.
To try to convince public officials and parents and kids to stay off of TikTok, and that TikTok, not Meta, should be the one under the microscope right now.
Okay.
Because their big thing is they seemed really aggrieved that, you know, everyone, it's popular to hate on Meta. It's popular to hate on Facebook. I mean, popular to hate on Mark Zuckerberg.
Fuck, Facebook for good sucks. Reasons. Like,
but they seem pretty upset about this.
Uh-huh.
So you may be saying, how are they doing this?
How are they doing this?
Well, Meta has partnered with a group called Targeted Victory.
Okay.
Their plan is to pump out media narratives through op-eds and news headlines, etc., that make TikTok look, quote, dangerous to the youth.
Okay.
Who's Targeted Victory, you say? It just so happens that they are one of the largest Republican consulting firms in the nation.
What a coinkydink.
And their goal is to, quote, get the message out that while Meta is the current punching bag, TikTok is the real threat, especially as a foreign-owned app that is number one in sharing data that young teens are using. Bonus point if we can fit into the broader message that the current bills and proposals aren't where state attorney generals or members of Congress should be focused. So they're basically just trying to reorient, like, all of the discourse around
Facebook
right
they're
now.
Trying to all the fucking congressional hearings that they've had.
Yeah, and they said, quote, the dream would be to get stories with headlines like From Dances to Danger, how TikTok has become the most harmful social media space for kids.
I love how they're just, like, projecting. Because wasn't there that study last year that said that Instagram was literally fucking horrible for your mental health?
Yeah, it said, I can't remember exactly what the statistics were, but it was something like, of teenagers that said Instagram was hurting their mental health, 13% of them said that it gave them thoughts of suicide. Like, that's
God
insane.
Damn.
That's insane.
God, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, any of this is also true for TikTok.
Of course.
It's fucking awful as well. But
No, all of social media is bad for your mental health. Yeah. Humans were not wired to take in information like this. Like, we fundamentally are not built to see, you know, like, a war going on in Ukraine and then swipe down and see some ass. Like,
exactly. No, our, yeah. Like, yeah.
Our brains are not built to handle, and then, like, a political debate. Like, we're not built to handle it.
Yeah, just Charlie Kirk ass Hassan.
Yeah, exactly. We're just not wired to deal with that, but that's what we have. But anyway, back to the story.
Okay.
You may be asking, what have they done so far?
Yeah,
because they've actually gotten to work.
Okay.
They've spread some propaganda in local news in Hawaii, which is
not the reactionary local news.
It was the reactionary local news in Hawaii with a headline that was about, quote, the slap a teacher TikTok challenge.
What?
That's what I said when I read it. Turns out the challenge doesn't exist.
Okay.
And it actually originated on Facebook as a rumor.
Dog. Jesus fucking Christ. It's like, it's crazy because I'm pretty sure Facebook actually had crazy shit like that happen. Like, wasn't that the knockout challenge? Like, back when we were in, like, middle school or some shit. You remember that?
No.
People would walk around and people would run around and record themselves just fucking knocking the shit out of strangers. They'd go up and just rock them, sucker punch them. Like in Batman. The opening of Batman, when they just punched that dude.
Yeah.
It's just like that, but it really happened. I'm pretty sure that happened on Facebook.
Oh, my God. I love that. I love Facebook. I love companies just lying.
I know.
just making shit up with no repercussions. And then on March 12th, pretty recently, Targeted Victory ran stories in the Denver Post and in the Des Moines Register that TikTok is actually bad for the mental health of children and that parents need to get their kids off of the site. It'd be like whole articles about it. And surprise, surprise, social media, as we've already said, ruins everyone's mental health.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just TikTok.
No.
It's literally just them making shit up.
And it's like, if we want to talk about real damage, have you seen what Facebook has done to your parents?
Yeah, literally. Literally. Have you seen how Facebook helped facilitate the January 6th riot, a genocide in Myanmar?
Like, oh my goodness.
Have you seen the harm that Facebook has committed to society?
What they've done to every boomer?
Yeah.
What they did to Bill Maher? Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, TikTok is pumping out videos that, like, we are programmed to want to see based on the algorithm.
My attention span is shit now.
Yeah. But like, at least it's not pairing me up with QAnon.
At least I'm not racist.
Yeah.
So.
And then Andy Stone, a Meta spokesperson, he said, quote, he was trying to defend Meta's actions here.
Okay.
He said, quote, we believe all platforms, including TikTok, should face a level of scrutiny consistent with their growing success.
Oh.
So apparently by scrutiny, he means running a propaganda campaign against your rivals.
By scrutiny, he means lying.
Yeah.
Lying.
Yeah, every company should face scrutiny. And by that, we mean we need to lie about our competition to try to undermine them in the market and probably buy them. Like, that's what he means.
Wow, I love it. I love it when they give the FTC more ammunition in their current lawsuit against Facebook.
I know. It's like... I don't even, like, what were they thinking? Like,
I don't know.
Like, this is what capitalism is. Like, it's not like open, good faith competitiveness. It's undermining your competition in any way possible.
And then we pretend it's not. Like, we have institutions like the FTC and the DOJ's antitrust division that simply exist to pretend that capitalism is not exactly what it is,
mm-hmm.
to water it down in the public's mind.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is exactly what it is, especially with, like, all the allegations of Facebook. You know, being terrible for mental health, proliferating extremist ideologies.
Yeah.
They've been trying to do literally whatever they can to get away from that. They literally rebranded to get away from that.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to undermine their competition to prove that other social media platforms are actually more harmful because TikTok is one of the very few that Meta just doesn't own.
Uh-huh.
So they have to come up with something. It's like that in Twitter.
No,
like,
facts, yeah. And they already know they can't beat Twitter.
At this point. Like, I
have no idea.
Yeah.
And it's like they're not beating Twitter. TikTok's just the new big thing that they can try and shit on.
Uh-huh.
And it's just absolutely wild. Just one, Facebook talking about mental health for things we've already mentioned.
Yeah.
And also the fact that they're talking about mental health when one of their big pitches for the metaverse is to just have fucking meetings completely in your VR headset so you never have to leave your home, to have like a virtual reality like house that you have to fucking buy, mm-hmm. that's like an NFT or whatever the fuck. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, they're literally trying to build dystopia, and then they're like, all right, but what about dancing app? What about dancing app? What are they doing?
Yeah.
What about dancing app where your kid may be, you know, seeing head in the office on their For You page? What about that?
Yeah, facts. What about these harmful socialist podcasters that are popping up on your kid's For You page, huh?
Yeah, and it's like, of course, like TikTok definitely collects your data. Like, that's what every major, like, yeah. Silicon Valley corporation does.
Everything collects your data. Uh-huh. It's insane.
But, like, Facebook also has been notorious for collecting and then selling your data. But I mean,
they just got in trouble for that.
Yeah,
like so much trouble for that.
Like they're just saying like, okay, we do it too, but we've actually been under the microscope, and it's TikTok's turn.
Yeah, exactly.
We're tired of this.
Oh my God, you guys are also looking at whatever fucking crazy porn Gage looks at and selling it. We're doing it too, but when you do it, it's bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's just because TikTok can appeal to like kids at this point or like young people, uh-huh. and Facebook clearly does not.
And Instagram's like kind of like becoming the older millennial platform.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think they're just getting insecure that their profit margins are dipping, even though Facebook and Meta is still incredibly profitable.
I know.
It's just like they smell a little bit of blood. They smell like a little bit of competition, and they have to snuff it out.
Yeah.
Like Twitter's not competing against them in the same way that TikTok is. Twitter's been around for a very long time at this point, but like. This is exactly what capitalism is. It's like the billionaires, the people that hold all of the power in the market, are going to try to push out their competition And then when one random company breaks through, they'll do anything they can to crush them, including just straight up lying.
Yeah.
Like just making shit up. Like
Facebook is just me when I lie, you know? Yeah.
And let's not forget, they're partnering with one of the biggest consulting firms for Republican candidates in the country.
I love that. Love that. I love it when they fuel conservative reelections, like, inadvertently. Yeah. And also advertently with all their fucking targeted ad campaigns.
So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that story on Meta taking an L. Because they kind of did take an L here. Exactly. I don't know if anything's going to happen to them, but they've been exposed.
Probably not.
Maybe this will do like a, this will have like a, what is it called? Just like the opposite effect they want. Mm-hmm. And more people will be like, yeah, now I trust TikTok even more. Because you're never going to know if a story comes out about TikTok if it's actually real or just Meta propaganda at this point.
No facts.
I love that corporations can just do propaganda. Like it's not the state doing it anymore. Uh-huh. It's just like privately owned businesses. I love that.
I love it. I love late really stage cool. capitalism.
It's really cool.
I love it when corporations get to dictate your personal life.
So true. So good.
I love living under the boot.
Anyway, moving on to some stuff that Congress did. For once, they did a thing.
Congress did a thing.
Congress did two things, actually.
Or the House did a thing.
The House did a
thing. The House usually does some things.
The House did a thing. So it's actually two things that have happened. One is in regard to insulin prices.
Ooh.
And the other is marijuana legalization. Ooh. So first off, starting with insulin, the House voted on a bill last week by a margin of 232 to 193, all Republicans opposing, of course.
Naturally.
That caps insulin prices at $35 a month for consumers.
Of course all Republicans voted no. Yeah. Of fucking course they
Right
did.
After complaining during the State of the Union that Joe Biden changed the executive order that Trump made to lower insulin prices. Right after complaining that Joe Biden doesn't care about people that need insulin, they almost unanimously, because like 10 Republicans voted with him.
Yeah.
Almost unanimously voted to not lower insulin prices.
Because we talk about it last week, how like the EO, even Trump's EO barely fucking worked.
It didn't.
Like it didn't do anything. It just made things harder. It was the epitome of bureaucracy.
It was the Keystone XL pipeline version of insulin like regulation. It wasn't in place. It wasn't doing anything and it really wouldn't have done anything.
Okay.
So Trump's executive order literally didn't matter, but this bill could if it passes, which the thing is that
it's not going to pass.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up a bit later on, but, you know, we have the human embodiment of Big Pharma in Kyrsten Sinema.
And then we have the human embodiment of coal.
True.
Yeah.
And, we have a literal barrel of oil in the Senate sitting in Joe Manchin's seat. So I don't know that it'll pass. But as of right now, back to insulin, as of right now. Insulin can cost between $3,000 and $1,000 a month, which is
absolutely insane
for a drug that you just need to like survive. It can cost you $3,000 to $1,000 a month, which is exactly why so many corporations are just able to get away with charging you whatever.
Oh yeah,
because they know that you'll pay it. Because like what's the what amount would you pay to survive? What amount would you pay for your kid to be able to survive? But right now, about 7.4 million Americans need insulin to survive.
Lots.
So lots of people.
Lots.
Millions and millions of people. And an important note is that it sounds all good, right? $35 a month, that's really good.
Yeah.
But the bill doesn't actually lower the cost of insulin. It just makes it so the consumer isn't charged more than $35 a month, which means that the costs are going to fall onto employers and providers, including Medicare. So companies are still going to be making a killing off of selling these drugs. It's just that the consumers won't be paying for it, which is just another fucking reason why you need a Medicare for all infrastructure so that companies can't just charge insane amounts to whoever they want. So that's
this
cool.
This is like the whole argument that I hear against like free college, like I don't even fucking remember what it is. Basically, the argument goes like college is so expensive now because we keep giving scholarships out, because we keep giving loans, and that makes it so that like the government will ensure that you can go to college with government backed loans and even maybe private loans. Mm-hmm. You can always go to college. You just have to take out a shit ton of loans. Mm-hmm. And it's that infrastructure that conservatives say has pushed the price of college so high because they know they can get away with it. That's literally what's happening here.
Yeah.
Now what, Eli Lilly can just go and increase the price of insulin?
Right.
Just and it falls on the government, and then people can say that the government is bad because it's wasting money, because here it is.
Right. And that with that line of argument, the answer then is not like, okay, let's get rid of all scholarships and grants. The answer is like, okay, let's make it completely free so people can't be charged.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
The point is to get rid of the privatization of it all.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing with this is like, this is great. I hope it passes and I hope it works. But it would be one small, tiny point in the entire healthcare industry that is a little bit cheaper for people. If you have the entire industry still privatized and able to crush people, a little bit of a change to insulin isn't going to do much, and it's probably going to get destroyed in a few years.
No, facts.
Like, you need an entire overhaul and destruction of the system.
Probably get destroyed in a few months, if we're being real. It's probably not going to fucking pass. Yeah. And $35 is significant because I know that that's the cost to, like, manufacture each bottle of insulin, which it's like, if you're going to pick a number, that's the cost to bottle it, to manufacture it. Why not put it on the companies? Why not nationalize the infrastructure and just distribute it for free?
Mm-hmm. Like, you strictly need it.
It's such a half measure. I don't want to, like, sound all doom and gloom, because this is a good thing for the 7.4 million diabetics in the country. Mm-hmm. Very good thing. They're going to actually, like, see a real increase. There's going to be a material benefit in their life.
Right. If Kyrsten Sinema doesn't block it,
of course. If Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin and, like, Maggie Hassan don't block it, you know? Yeah.
It's just, like, my fear with any, like, small reform that happens to massive privatized industries is that it's just going to get swallowed up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like when co-ops try to survive against massive corporations. Mm-hmm. Like, you fundamentally, because the modus operandi of co-ops is just fundamentally different than massive corporations, they struggle to survive.
Yeah.
Because in a privatized industry, the goal is to destroy everyone, like Meta's trying to do. Destroy everyone to make as much money as possible. But reforms like this, the goal is to make life easier for people.
Exactly.
And those, I don't think those can, like, survive next to massive corporations that are making insulin that want to turn as much profit as possible.
That can literally just buy senators.
And it also doesn't even, like, punish price gouging behavior.
Oh, no, not at all.
It just makes it so employers have to pay more for healthcare plans, which they'll then be like, well, now I can't provide you as good of a healthcare plan. Find somewhere else to work.
No, exactly. It's a huge Band-Aid. It's a huge Band-Aid.
And it also will cause, I think the Office of Budget Management said that cost for Medicare will go up now because Medicare will have to pay more for insulin.
It's
good for the consumer, but it's just it's not good enough. You know what I mean?
It's barely even a Band-Aid. Yeah. It's barely even a Band-Aid at this point. You need to fix the issue at hand.
Yeah.
And fixing this one issue at hand isn't even that hard.
Yeah.
Just take over insulin production.
Yeah.
I don't care. Just take it over. Fuck Eli Lilly. Fuck Novo, whatever is the other insulin manufacturer. Yeah. And there's another one. Like, God damn.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. It's pretty awful. And the GOP response was that this bill is, quote, price fixing. Which, like, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. But, like, that was their only response. I love how they try to have a nuanced response here. It's like, well, we want to make insulin cheaper, but this isn't the way to do it.
Well, look now, we believe in market principles, and this is price fixing. This goes against the free market, even though we were forced to recognize in this instance that the free market has dictated that the supply of this inelastic good is so low and the demand is so high that we're just going to have to artificially decrease it and artificially bump up the prices. But price gouging is okay.
Look, you're kid, you know, through no fault of their own, may need insulin each month.
Yeah.
And if you have to pay $1,000 a month, so be it.
So be it. I know
Work
that
harder.
I know that the guys who discovered insulin back in like 1912 and won the Nobel Prize for it sold the patent to the University of Toronto for literally $1 and said, I quote, a life-saving medication should not be like something that people have to pay for.
Uh-huh.
But
it's almost as if technological advancement should exist to better human life and not make more profit for massive corporations.
But that's a little too socialist for me.
Oh, naturally. So, you know, if we can't coerce people into working through the threat of their kid dying because they can't afford insulin, what's the point?
I'm going to have to up the price of insulin by maybe three orders of magnitude.
Yeah, maybe 300% increase. The GOP solution to this is, instead of lowering prices, we should fix them even higher than they are right now.
Yeah, guys. What if we fixed it at $1,000?
Right. That's the minimum.
Eli Lilly is struggling right now.
Exactly. The mom and pop shop.
These mom and pop insulin manufacturers.
Anyway, moving on to another thing that Congress did, or that the House did, that the Senate might not do.
Okay.
They passed another bill called the MORE Act, which it passed the House on a 220-204 vote. Again, all Republicans voting against it. And the bill would federally decriminalize marijuana use, which is good.
That's very good.
Yeah. What it does basically is it would prevent agencies from not hiring people because of marijuana use.
Which is so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Drug tests are dumb.
Yeah.
Drug tests are dumb. If they're not affecting job performance, then what the fuck is the point? It's literally just discriminatory.
Uh-huh. Ridiculous. It would also allow the VA to recommend marijuana to veterans with PTSD. So that's pretty cool. And then it would also expunge the records of people convicted of crimes for marijuana possession.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all dub.
That's all
pretty good. And the bill is expected to pass in the Senate, actually.
No way.
Based on what I was reading, there's like enough votes to break the filibuster even. We'll see if that's the case.
Yeah, we'll see if that actually happens. And I mean, it's still even kind of just like, decriminalization is cool, but you really want to move towards legalization.
Yeah.
Because decriminalization just means now, oh no, you're going to get fined for it. And states can choose how much they want to fine you for marijuana use.
Yeah.
And you can't use it recreationally.
Yeah. I mean, we've made this point a bunch with just like drugs in general, but trying to place just like outright bans on things mm-hmm. never works.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's much better if you can legalize it and then place regulations on it.
Yeah.
So that when these drugs are used, you can make sure that harm is reduced as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Regulations always much better than just outright banning things. We learned that the hard way with alcohol back in like, what was it, like the 19-something?
Some shit.
When we banned it with the 18th Amendment, I think.
18th
or something like that.
And then the 21st to repeal it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like we know that banning substances is never a good idea. What is good is regulating it, reducing harm as much as possible, and ensuring people are being safe.
Yeah, shout out Prohibition.
Yeah, shout out the temperance movement.
That's right. Shout out speakeasies.
True, bring those back, dog. I was born in the wrong time period. What can I say?
Born in the wrong generation. Oh, my God.
Anyway, overall, some pretty good news. The insulin prices thing. Maybe it'll work.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Marijuana convictions obviously have always disproportionately hurt the black community, mm-hmm. despite all the races using marijuana at similar rates.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same thing with all drugs. All drugs have been used to target the black community, war on drugs, historically. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see what
we'll
happens.
We'll get it figured out. You
we'll,
know?
You know, we'll keep up on it as we do. You know, we're journalists.
Yeah, you know us. Big independent journalists over here.
Exactly, exactly. Now, I think it's time for... maybe one of my favorite stories that I've written for the show.
I was told to go in blind for this segment.
I did. I
told
him
to not read through this part of the show notes. So these are just off the dome reactions here.
And you all might have heard of this first one. It has to do with Madison Cawthorn and how he goes to orgies all the time.
I did hear this one, actually.
And let me just let you know that this is the lightest one of this section.
Okay.
It only goes downhill. So buckle up. It gets progressively worse.
Excellent.
Anyway, first story is Madison Cawthorn. He was on a podcast recently. Or he divulged some pretty interesting information.
Pretty sensitive information.
Some pretty interesting information. He said, this was his quote. I'm quoting him from the podcast. He said, "The sexual perversion that goes on in Washington, being kind of a young guy in Washington where, you know, the average age is between 60 and 70. You look at these people. A lot of them I've looked up to throughout my whole life."
The average age is between 60 and 70?
Something like that.
I'm like not surprised, but I like am. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway, he said, "I've always paid attention to politics. And then all of a sudden you get invited. They say, 'We're going to have a sexual get-together at one of our homes. You should come.' What did you just ask me to come to? And then you realize they're asking you to come to an orgy." And then he continues on a little bit later and he says, "Some of the people leading the movement to try to remove addiction in our country. And then you watch them do a key bump of cocaine right in front of you." So...
Dog, I just think it's crazy because Madison Cawthorn's like... the youngest member of Congress, right?
Yeah, youngest member ever.
Yeah, ever. He's like 20-something?
Mm-hmm. 20. He was elected when he was 25.
He's just like us, for real.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. For real. Yeah, no, he's 25. It just goes to show that this dude has just been literally drinking the Kool-Aid his whole life.
Yeah.
He actually believes these things. Unlike, like, the old motherfuckers, unlike Moscow Mitch McConnell,
right.
Fucking everybody else in the GOP, Jim Jordan, Kevin McCarthy, who are really just there for the money now and want to lie about the culture war things.
Uh-huh.
He's young enough to have actually been brought up during the culture war.
Mm-hmm.
He believes in this shit wholeheartedly.
Right. Like,
it's so crazy.
Bro has been indoctrinated. He grew up his entire life, like, looking up to these figures, believing in them. And then he gets to Congress and realizes, just like him, they're all a bunch of fucking idiots.
Yeah, no. Imagine.
They're all just stupid. Like, they all don't know how to do their job. They're all really dumb and they're just there for the political theater.
Imagine growing up your whole life thinking Mitch McConnell is cool.
I don't think a lot of young conservatives even like Mitch McConnell. I mean, he's got like a 17% approval rating
That's
in the country. But, you know, he's looking up to
Kevin
to other
McCarthy,
conservatives.
Like,
yeah.
Still, imagine thinking that any of them are cool.
He's looking up to other conservatives, and then he gets there, and he realizes that nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about.
Insane.
And that, like, they're all just really dumb.
That's
like,
crazy how he just gave away the plot.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, a lot of Republicans are like, well, you know, he's making that up. Orgies, you know, orgies aren't happening. That's irresponsible
to
say.
Democrats are the ones doing those in the swamp.
Democrats are the ones doing the orgies with kids and sucking
with
adrenochrome out of their bodies.
That's right, baby.
But there may be some evidence. that orgies in DC might actually be happening. Okay. So Kevin McCarthy, he had a reaction to this, right?
Kevin McCarthy, the guy who personally texts me like every other day telling me I'm a top Patriot.
He texts your line, yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin McCarthy, he met independently with Madison Cawthorn.
Oh, no.
Not to have an orgy, but to reprimand him.
Okay, I mean, you can't really one-on-one have an orgy, so I understand.
Yeah. He met one-on-one with him to, like, you know, reprimand him for his behavior. Say, like, you can't go and say that. And then afterwards, he was, Kevin McCarthy was caught outside with the press.
Okay.
And he said, quote, "I just told him that he's lost my trust. He's going to have to earn it back. I've laid out everything that I find is unbecoming. And you can't just say, quote, you can't do this again. I mean, he's got a lot of members very upset." See, what this makes me think is that, why would he have lost your trust, Kevin?
Yeah.
What would he have done that makes you, do you feel like you can't confide information in him anymore?
Do you feel like you can't invite him to orgies anymore?
Yeah, you feel like you can't tell him what you guys are doing, what the conservative caucus is doing
after work? What the boys are doing on Saturday nights?
Yeah, and then he carried on.
Okay.
He said, quote, "It's frustrating. There's no evidence behind his statements. I told him you can't make statements like that as a member of Congress that affect everybody else and the country as a whole. But I think that he's just playing cover up because the Republicans like to have orgies with each other, 60-year-old men."
But it's like, why would Madison Cawthorn lie? Exactly. Why would he have lied about that? You know what I mean?
There was some quote of Kevin McCarthy saying that, or some other Republican saying that Madison Cawthorn has admitted that what he has said has been exaggerated. What is he exaggerating?
Yeah.
what is the piece of truth that is inside his statement? Okay, it's not orgies, it's just like...
Maybe
like,
it was just a little bit of cocaine.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit on the pinky, just...
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's just... It's really interesting how Kevin McCarthy gets, like... Like, all Republicans are, like, pissed off at Madison Cawthorn for saying this.
Yeah.
They're saying it's irresponsible. But they say absolutely nothing when Marjorie Taylor Greene goes to a Nazi convention.
Yo, wait a minute. And then she just gets away with saying, "I didn't know."
Or when Madison Cawthorn is like excited to see Hitler's home.
Such it was a great experience.
Or like members of their own party support a fucking insurrection at the Capitol. Like they don't get mad over actual threats to democracy, but they're like, "Dog, you just exposed our orgies."
Nobody was mad at Matt Gaetz for sex trafficking a 17-year-old.
That was Washington's best kept secret, these orgies. And Madison Cawthorn blew the lid.
It's not even like a well kept secret, though. Like, everybody talks about it. Everybody knows.
Yeah. Just another reminder that our representatives in Washington, absolute buffoons.
Fucking deviants.
Absolute, complete buffoons. They get mad over things that just don't matter. And apparently, Madison Cawthorn's been going to orgies.
Wild.
So that's crazy.
Or no, he hasn't, but everybody else has.
Well, maybe he was just trying to like expunge himself.
Oh, so true.
He's trying to get out ahead of the conflict.
Maybe he heard that like, oh my God, someone's gonna like leak this information, so I gotta get out there and be the one to do it.
Yeah, he had to get out there, let them all know, and then like so he could backtrack himself.
That's what I'd do whenever I'm in trouble. Lie. You know what I mean? Just just anything to cover my ass.
Exactly. Like just like Meta for real. Just like me for real.
Shit.
Just make shit up as much as possible. We got another Republican to check in on, though.
Okay.
She's a show favorite. Friend of the show. Friend of the pod.
Lauren Boebert?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, okay.
Because she's... this is our middle story, by the way. So we're getting progressively more putrid as we go, naturally. Right. So she... The first thing that she's a little bit in trouble for is a national activist group called Free Speech for People. They filed a legal challenge against...
Free Speech for People.
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of people? Because I don't think it's everybody.
I don't know, but she filed a they filed a legal challenge against Marjorie Taylor Greene's eligibility in the upcoming election.
Never mind. Okay.
And they're filing on grounds that she violated the 14th Amendment by encouraging the January 6th riot. Of course, the 14th Amendment includes a provision that says, you know, if you're an elected official, you can't rebel against the United States government.
Yeah.
The legal challenge is set to go to a hearing on April 13th. It was filed on March 24th. And if the judge agrees, she could be disqualified from running in the election, which would be wild.
That'd be fire.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really funny. But then also the second thing that she's in a little bit hot water for.
Okay.
And this is some unhinged mask off Marjorie Taylor
Greene.
More
unhinged than her like harassing David Hogg.
Yeah.
Like more unhinged than Jewish space lasers.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, okay. All right.
Maybe. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she spoke at a rally hosted by Donald Trump himself, which happened like last week.
Oh, the Georgia rally?
Was it Georgia? It might have been Georgia.
It might have been, yeah.
But she was at a rally. She was speaking alongside DJT. You know, she's headlining the event.
The big man, you know.
And she started to complain about this attempt to remove her from the ballot.
Yeah.
And I think she might have overcorrected a little bit.
Oh, no. She's like, God, I can't wait to go to this orgy later to ease my stress.
That's actually men only.
Oh, so true. So true.
She said she started off the normal rhetoric. She said, quote, you're going to see a new Republican Party, a Republican Party that defends our nation's borders, a Republican Party that finishes the wall, a Republican Party that saves this economy, stops inflation and ridiculously high gas prices. We're going to drill oil right here in the USA.
Love it.
So all normal rhetoric, right?
Yeah, just the normal thing.
Because we never drill oil here.
I love fracking.
USA. Yeah, exactly. And then she goes on.
Okay.
And this is where it gets a little weird.
All right.
She brings up Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, right?
Oh, no.
And his transportation plans for the country.
Oh, no.
Talking about how much, you know, she hates his plans, hates his ideas for, like, electric vehicles and stuff. And she says, quote, and you know what? Pete Buttigieg can take his electric vehicles and his bicycles, and he and his husband can stay out of our girls' bathrooms. Apparently, she don't know the difference between gay and trans people. Because I think she was trying to make a trans joke.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
They're so corny. They're literally unable to be funny.
Uh-huh.
Literally unable to be funny. Oh, my God.
And then she goes on. She says, okay. Quote, yeah. And Leah Thomas?
Oh.
Leah's going to remember his name is William. And he needs to go back to men's swimming because we're going to kick biological men out of women's sports.
Wow. I love just the attack right there.
Yeah.
Just the dead name and everything there. That's just everything.
Yeah. No, that's actually just fucking disgusting.
Wow. We love Marjorie Taylor Greene over here. She's quite the friend of the show.
That's a quick Marjorie Taylor Greene unhinged section right there.
It seems like there's one every other week, honestly.
But we got one more Republican to check in on.
Is this the Lauren Boebert one?
No. There's a Laura Boebert story?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So apparently earlier this week, I saw this like last night, earlier this week, she said that you should have to wait until you're 21 to come out as gay or transition. She said you shouldn't be allowed to be gay or trans until you're 21 years old.
What the fuck?
So that you have time to make an educated decision. It doesn't take much to be like, I don't really like coochie.
Yeah.
Like, it does not take much at all.
Oh my God, dog. What the hell?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Like, what are you going to talk about government overreach? You know what I mean?
The
like,
the state should force you to not come out. But we're going to assume you're straight, of course.
The state is going to force you to not be able to have sex with whoever you want to until you're 21.
Yeah.
And she said, I thought it was really funny. She said, you have to wait to be 21 to drink in this country. So I think it's only fair. As if that's not also arbitrary.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't understand. Like,
you're just
gonna be assumed you're straight, of course.
Yes, of course.
Naturally. Yeah. Wow.
No,
that's pretty cool.
Lauren Boebert wants you to come out as straight.
I agree with that.
Yo, wait a minute.
Make that law. Make that a law. Someone pass that law.
She's fucking horrible too, though.
Yeah.
She's also her and that like whole camp, like the Madison Cawthorn, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're all so bad. You know, her husband got in. Her husband is literally a sexual predator.
What?
He got in trouble for exposing himself to a group of underage girls at a bowling alley.
Bro, what?
You didn't know that?
Democrats are the groomers, though.
Wait, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then she was a part of that group of underage girls.
What a twist!
Yeah, that's what I said. But apparently there was like a 2-week window, so she might have been 18. She might have been 17 turning 18. So maybe she was the only one that was maybe wasn't underage. And then she went and married this dude.
Wow.
And it's so funny because they own that that like fucking gimmicky restaurant in Colorado, Shooters, where like all the waitresses are carrying and it's like gun themed.
Yeah.
But he can't own a gun.
It's because the government's coming after a Second Amendment right, brother.
That's right, baby. Come on, brother.
God damn. That's crazy. What a twist.
I know.
She was one of the girls.
I know. She, I guess, thought it was fire.
Wait, she's been groomed.
Yeah.
Was she like a kid at that point?
Like 17 turning 18.
Okay, so she's been groomed. Republicans are the groomers.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're just exposed. Who does that? Like at a bowling alley?
She's a victim.
Yeah.
She's a victim.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Wow. Republican Party making me feel sad today. Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on to the last story.
Okay.
One more person we got to check in on. And this is where it gets really unhinged.
All right.
He is a former state representative from Mississippi. and was also a gubernatorial candidate in 2019, but he lost. His name,
okay.
We know him, we love him. His name's Robert Foster.
Oh, no.
He, out of nowhere, was on Twitter going sicko mode.
Oh,
violently
no.
transphobic on Twitter.
Oh, not on the TL.
He said, quote, "Some of y'all still want to try to find political compromise with those that want to groom our school-age children and pretend that men are women, etc."
They love just calling anyone who's LGBTQ fucking groomers
just out
and
of
pedophiles.
Uh-huh.
Like,
but then he continues on. He said, "I think they need to be lined up against a wall before a firing squad."
Hey, yo.
Yeah.
Hey, yo. You yeah. literally can't say that.
Yeah. He said that. Isn't that crazy?
What?
His words, not mine. His words, not mine.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
No shot.
Uh-huh. Like, crazy. Crazy. And then, okay, yeah. First of all, with this, like, groomer shit, I don't know where this came from. I guess just, like, linking pedophilia to, like, homosexuality or just, like, LGBTQ.
I think it comes from, like, a group of, like, activists trying to... like change the I remember like a while ago, maybe a year or two ago, there was like a big story, it still comes up every once in a while, about how some people want to stop calling pedophiles and call them minor attracted people.
Oh no.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah, so they really hopped onto that one, and I think they took that and just said, oh, anyone who's a part of like just even adjacently related to anybody like this is just a groomer, clearly.
To an incredible effect, too.
Oh,
very effective.
Clearly it's working.
Yeah.
Clearly it's working. Oh my God.
But it's pretty funny because I think that like the GOP has more pedophiles and like assaulters
than
the LGBT community in the entire country.
Oh yeah.
Like Matt Gaetz, like, I mean, alleged, but like he did it.
You know what I mean?
Madison Cawthorn's got allegations against him for assault.
Brett Kavanaugh, multiple allegations.
Donald Trump.
Clarence Thomas has allegations against him.
Uh-huh.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Dude, they've been popping off with the homophobia this week and just all the anti-LGBTQ shit. I saw this one clip on TikTok of this senator. I think like at the state level, I can't remember what his name was. He was talking about furries. And he was trying to explain to, you know, the group what a furry was. And he's like, it's these group of children that dress up as cats and dogs and go to school. And they're even putting litter boxes in some of these schools to accommodate them. So it's like, I love it.
I think
again,
I tweeted that.
I love it when they just, oh, that might have been it. Yeah, I love it when they just lie.
Yeah.
Like, insane.
They said these kids are shitting on the floor because they want litter boxes. It's like, dog, the furry community never did anything to you.
Exactly.
Leave them
maybe,
alone.
Maybe, like, one of them at one school is trying to do something like this.
Uh-huh. Probably not even in Nebraska. Like,
bro's just making stuff up.
Anyway, it's kind of crazy that this dude, who was once a literally an elected official in this country, was just calling for like the extrajudicial murder of supporters of trans people. Like, that's, we live in a dystopia. Like,
I know, dude. Like, that's so fucking unhinged. I thought this was the party of family values.
Yeah.
Murder?
Yeah.
Murder?
Family values, like killing people for supporting those that, you know, just want to be accepted in
family
society.
Family values for saying it's okay to live how you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he continued on.
No!
He doubled down. He said, why a firing squad? First and foremost, I'm a Southern gentleman. And it's a very efficient and civilized way of disposing of evil. And then he said, secondly, it would be too costly and time-consuming to fly them up over the Gulf of Mexico and push them out of a helicopter.
Dog!
Which is
doing too much!
Which is,
that's
the push them out of the helicopter thing is a very obvious reference to Pinochet, which was a dictator in Chile that would take his political rivals up into helicopters and toss them into the ocean to kill them. And by the way, he was a far-right dictator. He was a fascist in Chile. So, if you're identifying with his methods of getting rid of people,
you
like,
think that that's fire.
You got something wrong with you, big dog.
He's literally so extra.
Uh-huh. He's just advocating for the extrajudicial murder of people. Or I guess judicial in his sense, if it's a firing squad.
Oh, so true. So true.
Because by the way, Robert Foster, he wrote the Mississippi death penalty law, which includes killing people by gas chamber, electrocution, and guess what?
Firing squad. Wait, like, literally still this day?
Yes. In Mississippi, it's law, apparently.
What?
Yeah.
I thought that they got rid of that because it was, like, cruel and unusual punishment.
No, he's actually a Southern gentleman, and it's a very civilized way of
so
getting
true.
Rid of somebody.
The death penalty, very civilized in general, uh-huh. by the way. It really solves our issues.
Yeah. And just another note, as we're talking about, like, you know, homophobia, transphobia and stuff, uh-huh. figured I'd shoe this in at the end.
Okay.
The Don't Say Gay bill just passed in Florida,
yeah.
which is pretty fucking terrible. And then Utah, there was the governor that overturned the bill to ban trans athletes from playing in sports.
Okay.
And that was just, like, for high school
sports.
Did
it have, like, a veto-proof majority?
Yeah. And then they overruled Naturally. It with a veto. And I want to make a point on this Utah bill, because apparently there's only four trans yeah. athletes in the state. And only one of them is a trans woman.
Uh-huh.
The bill was uh-huh. written to target an individual.
Fucking insane.
Yeah.
Wow, you did a great job. You really helped democracy everywhere. This is such a great use of congressional resources
yeah.
and state legislature time right uh-huh. now. Targeting one fucking high school kid.
An individual.
Making one individual's life just so much worse now.
I love it when my entire state just writes legislation that targets one fucking person.
Yeah. And they probably aren't even that good. Like, probably just playing the sport.
That was the Utah governor. He was like, it's not like they're stealing scholarships or yeah. winning any amazing trophies, setting any records. They're just playing the sport because they like it.
Literally.
Like, you are literally just writing legislation to target one fucking girl in school. Like, goddamn. Like, you're evil. You
yeah.
are evil.
Yeah.
Like, this is the embodiment of evil. Just let kids be kids. Holy shit.
According to Robert Foster, actually, it's the other way around.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What a fucking insane take.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
What an insane take. He doubled down. This is, well, I can't say it's just like the Gene Woo situation, because it's so much
worse.
But it's like, got the same energy. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
I feel like Gene Woo situation was just a precursor to this.
Yeah.
Like, her saying he's an enemy of the people, and then this guy saying that, like, we need to kill supporters of trans people. Fucking insane.
Watch this guy get banned off Twitter for that.
He did. On the
good shit, thank God.
But I think his account got reinstated.
Why? Well, fuck.
I don't know.
And then somebody's going to come through and say he was canceled.
Yeah, he was canceled. Free speech.
This is big tech overreach. Free speech makes it so that I can say I want to fucking murder these people.
Yeah. Free speech makes it so I can spread hate so much that I alone increase the murder rates of trans people.
Free speech means I can fucking hate you for your immutable characteristics.
Yeah. And I want to make a point just to end on this section here is that, like,
okay.
obviously it's all culture war, like all of the hate that is directed towards the LGBTQ. Uh-huh. But I want to make an even broader point, an even more intellectual point.
Oh, all right.
Is that all of this culture war is just to hide the fact that, like we talked about last week, they don't actually believe in anything.
They get nothing except Madison Cawthorn. yeah. I will give him that. Apparently, Madison Cawthorn actually believes in all these horrible things.
Yeah. No, yeah. He actually believes that, like, trans people are evil.
Dude probably has an ultra Reagan yeah. at his bedside every single night.
No, but, like, the only thing that Republicans actually believe in is, like, tax cuts for billionaires and,
yeah.
like, destroying the earth because they love oil barons or something.
Giving themselves more money.
But all of these, like, massive issues that they claim to care about, like affirmative action or, like, guns, abortion, LGBTQ, trans people in sports, whatever uh-huh. it is, all of it's just a massive fucking smokescreen because they have to rely on people being bigoted in order to get elected.
Yeah.
Because they know that no person in their right mind would ever vote for someone just for them to go cut massive taxes, do massive tax cuts. For billionaires.
Fucking insane. I think
it's just like the Southern strategy. The Republicans have been doing this since the 60s.
I think I saw this one stat earlier this week that there are 10 Congress people that are worth over $100 million and they're all Republicans.
Nice.
Crazy, right?
I love that. They're just
Crazy.
So representative of America as a whole.
I know. I love it. I love how they can just – they're really working men, you know?
They're really just – they're working men. They're a part of the 10% at the bottom, of course.
Working class people. Like you and me.
Exactly.
God, I love it. I love it so much.
Exactly. And speaking of working class.
Oh, ended on a positive note
we've
today.
We've got good news, actually.
Woo!
After that that kind of a downer of a section.
Facts.
Hearing about how awful people are, we're going to end on some actual good news. So, last Friday, Amazon, a facility in Staten Island, New York.
Yeah.
They successfully voted to unionize by a vote of 2,654 to 2,131. Which means that in Staten Island, it's the first Amazon union in the country.
I saw Jeff Bezos mauling about this
For real?
On an interview. Well, he wasn't like mauling. He was doing his like corporate PR
He's already
training
bald,
shit.
So how could he maul?
So true. Fuck that guy. But he was like, I just don't think that we need a union for us to be able to communicate with our employees.
Well, it's not for you, big dog.
Simple as that. I just don't think that we need that in order to effectively communicate with our team members.
That's crazy, because they did.
Exactly, that's crazy. Some
motherfuckers in Staten Island.
Because there's one now,
yeah.
And you can't do anything about it.
Well, that's the thing, is they could.
Oh, no.
So the NLRB, which is the National Labor Relations Board, they said that both sides have a week to challenge ballots and in the outcome as a whole,
yeah.
Which Amazon absolutely will do.
100%.
They will definitely challenge, like, at least the exact amount of ballots they need to win.
Uh-huh.
Just like Trump did in Georgia.
If you could find me 13,833 ballots.
One Amazon spokesperson, I guess, in addition to Jeff Bezos, said that they were very disappointed in the result. Which is like, just hold the L, big man.
Shut the fuck up, dude. I saw this one video, like a little off topic. I saw this one video of an Amazon worker, like in the break room. He put up literature, like flyers saying, hey, we should unionize.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody from HR came through and was taking the flyers out of the break room, and they recorded them and they were getting pissed. It's like, dog, and this is like, this is an HR worker.
Yeah.
Like, dog, you don't have to do this. Like, you're not getting paid extra for this.
No.
They're not going to like you anymore.
How the boot taste?
You're literally, that's all you're doing it for. You're just doing it to taste the sweet leather in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
And she was like upset that they were recording her taking it down and confronting her about it.
Oh my goodness. Like, stop.
I know. You don't have to do this. You're not getting paid extra.
But apparently Amazon spent over the last year throughout the entire country, they have spent more than $4 million on consulting firms to defeat election efforts for unions.
They could have just paid their workers more.
They could have paid their workers more, and then maybe they wouldn't have been forced to unionize or feel like they had to.
Crazy.
You know?
Crazy.
Maybe could have just used that $4 million to just treat people better.
God.
And I really love how people will pretend like the free market is actually free,
mm-hmm.
when corporations can spend millions of dollars to prevent you from having any power in the workplace.
Yeah,
that's really free and fair.
Isn't one of the things that these workers are fighting for just a 20-minute break?
Oh, that was the next point I was going to make, is that what they asked for was, quote, for Amazon to raise associates' pay by 7.5% to match inflation.
What even is that? Like, they get paid $15 an hour, 7.5% of that would be like...
I don't fucking know.
A fucking extra dollar. Like an extra dollar. And a half.
Yeah.
So they'd be paid like $16.50.
Uh-huh. And then they were also asking to reinstate 20-minute breaks and provide shuttle for workers. Like, that's it.
Wow, like reinstate 20-minute breaks. So there's no 20-minute breaks in these facilities.
And these facilities are ginormous.
They're like, horrible,
like, it takes you probably like at least 5-10 minutes to walk to the break room or to like walk to the bathroom to use it. These facilities are enormous.
And isn't that all time off task too?
Yeah.
And God damn.
And like you're like surveyed in Amazon facilities. Like you have like whatever your like scanning gun is or whatever.
Yeah.
And they can track if you, like how efficient you're being.
They can track all the time that you're not scanning, and they have quotas that you have to meet. We've talked about it on a couple episodes before.
Right, like it's a surveillance state. Like that's, like inside Amazon is like 1984 George
Fucking
Orwell.
Ridiculous.
It's scary. But yeah,
can't wait to get more comments. All they're asking, George Orwell.
Yeah, I know. All they're asking for is a tiny 20-minute break. They're asking for a tiny raise, and they just want to like have shuttle.
They're asking for crumbs.
Yes. And that's kind of the sad part to all this, is like, it's excellent that they won. I'm really happy for them. But it's like, they're asking for so little. They're asking for so little.
No, literally. Like, come on, take it. Like, you can. Like, you just literally just take it, right?
I know.
Eat him.
I know. Which, this, of course, comes after all of the effort in Bessemer, Alabama, when Amazon workers tried to reach their union.
Mm-hmm.
The election was, I can't remember what exactly happened with the first election. I'm pretty sure it wasn't just like rigged or something.
I think so.
Or like something crazy happened, or like Amazon was found to have like violated the rules.
There was a ton of union busting going on.
Which it seems like that's happening again, because their second election just finished and 52% of the workers voted no.
Oh.
So it was a closer margin than before.
Oh.
But there may be a challenge to those votes that may either cause another election or cause the union to win the election. So we'll see.
Fire.
Yeah, we'll
see. That'd be pretty cool.
Historic W.
Historic
we support
W.
it.
We love to see it.
I hope it inspires more people to unionize. Starbucks
Amazon.
Been going crazy.
Me and all my homies hate Jeff Bezos.
Me and all my homies hate every corporation in America. Every
That's
corporation
right.
in the world.
Nationalize Amazon.
True.
It'd literally just be better.
Make them the post office. New
Facts.
Post office.
We'd love that. Get rid of FedEx while we're at it.
Apparently, the post office has been worried that they're just going to like be sold to Amazon one day. So that's
fun.
Yeah. Like Amazon work or postal workers have just been afraid that Amazon's just going to like consume them at some point.
See, like at that point, how do you not recognize that that's an issue?
Right.
How?
Like an instrumental government function. You're afraid that you're going to be eaten by a corporation that has no democratic controls on it whatsoever.
It's like
bro, come on.
The Senate was already bought out a long time ago, right. But at least that's discreet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
At least we still have some kind of little ability to like vote people in and out.
Yeah.
But like if Amazon just takes over the entire postal service.
Unless they're on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I mean.
But that's a topic for last episode. Yeah. Check that one out.
Exactly. You know? We'd have to go back in time to exactly. Amend what we said there. But yeah, no, it's good news. Amazon victory W.
No, that's fire. Shout out to Staten Island.
Right. Shout out Staten Island. Shout out everyone else trying to make a union. You should do it if only for the reason because we're asking you to.
Exactly.
And also because it's cool. And also it's because really cool. Your boss probably sucks.
Facts.
Statistically
hopefully
likely.
Hopefully you don't get union busted.
Yeah.
That would be tough.
It's happened to this guy right here.
That guy right over there.
It's happened to this guy before. Woo! But I believe in you.
Exactly. You guys can do it though.
You got it. You got it. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Hope it wasn't too disgusting of news day.
Facts.
News
hopefully, stories. Hopefully you laughed a little bit. You enjoyed it a little bit. A
little bit of absurdity for your week.
Exactly.
A little bit of content for you.
So true.
We're looking forward to making more.
We are. We're really looking forward to the summer. I cannot stand it right now. Fighting for my life every single day.
Uh-huh.
But maybe a Discord in the works.
Facts. Fighting for our life every single day, but still delivering the content.
Exactly. Still coming here every Sunday.
Exactly.
Ready for it. And that is why I'm asking you once again to leave some 5-star reviews and check out the socials and leave some comments because I like reading them.
Become a patron and then maybe we can shout your name out. Like we're going to right now.
So true.
Because we got to give a special thanks to our patrons. So thank you to Cricket Scrapbook Layouts, Nikki Nine Lives, Kaden Kraut, Terrence Nicholson, Chris the Postman, Christy Beck, Thalia Katz, 40% Spite, Omar Zuno, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, John G, The B Plot, Clayton LaFour, Ash Fairblood, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Derek Messina, and my mom. Thank you all for supporting the show on Patreon. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Become a patron if you're listening. You can support the show if you like us. You can help us out and get us out of the drudgery, you know?
Exactly. Help us pop off this summer so I don't have to go back to school.
Exactly. A lot of people tell us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. You could help us. You could grab one of the bootstraps for us.
Please.
You could pull along with us. Thanks for listening to the show, everyone.
Have a great week.